It's from the freezer full of feet.
Her body had decided, and she didn't like it. Her underwear soaked through on the drive to Damon's. The residue of last night's old-fashioned soured the back of her throat. Morning fog blurred the houses. No makeup, not needed. Combat boots, knee-length plaid skirt. On the walk from his driveway to his front door, she jammed her bitten-down nails deep into the pockets of the white hoodie she'd bleached on the night she hid the body. She set her jaw and reached for his doorknob, but before she could touch it, the door swung open. The porch light and the faint glow of the coming sunrise lit his face, hollow-eyed but alert, clean-shaven. He had on a crisp white Oxford shirt, belt and jeans, but the belt was unfastened. His hair was still greasy with last night's drug sweat. The smell of him hit her, half soap, half sweat. He'd washed his face but hadn't showered, and the smell made her wetter.
I felt you coming, he said.
When he said it, goosebumps shivered down her arms. Waiting at the door like a dog, you make it too easy to come back. She brushed past him and walked to the stair landing. The front door clicked and locked behind her. She turned to watch him. His cock was already pressing against his fly, though she'd been there less than a half minute. The metal tip of his belt slapped softly against his thigh with each step as he joined her at the landing. Her nipples got hard. Her body had decided. Going up the stairs toward the bedroom, her boots clumped, but his bare feet were silent as a cat's tread. His hand, however, vibrated the cold metal stair railing faintly as it slid upward behind hers, and this made her clutch the railing hard. The vibration thrummed in her spine, and that made her knees weak, and this took up her world so fully that she wondered if she might lose her balance and fall back on him, tumbling them both down the steps. When she stopped at the top landing to collect herself, he waited a few steps below. Even with her back to him, she could feel his eyes on her, prickling her scalp through her hair, tingling the small of her back through her shirt, lifting her skirt. "Go on," he said finally. She took a deep breath and walked into his bedroom, heart racing. He had taped a piece of clear, crumpled plastic to the wall above his bed, the sheet she would have used to smother him the night before if she'd had the guts. When she turned, he was already unbuttoning his shirt, fingers working with deliberate precision, until the last button. He tightened his fists on the fabric, each side of the button, tighter. He made sure she was looking. Then he jerked them apart so hard the button popped off and ricocheted against the floor so that she jumped. It skittered, almost under the dresser, but it couldn't quite get away. "Strip," he said. She did, shedding her clothes in hungry silence while he watched, everything but the socks. He leaned in to look at the pattern. Reindeer fucking. Nice. When he dropped his pants, his belt buckle hit the floorboards with a dull clink. He looked away from her face down at his cock, which was stiff and exposed, and then back up to her eyes. She nodded, accepting the sweet inevitability. There was simply nothing else she could do, that either of them could do. Pressure everywhere, cold floorboards pressed up into her knees, his hand pressed on the back of her neck, the other hand gripped her hair, and the pull on the strands was a needle clamp feeling on the scalp, an authority that made the rest of her limp as a kitten in its mother's jaw. She looked up, and his gaze pressed down against her skin like a weight. All of it was holding her in place while he used her. His face was difficult to read, jaw set, eyes hard, but also something. What the fuck was it? Sad? Angry? Excited? All those things. The face of a man watching his house burn down, warming his hands against the flames. She gripped him hard and took him in her mouth, and her mouth flooded with saliva at the feeling of him on her tongue. She imagined Pavlov's dogs and hated them. When she began to suck and stroke, his head bowed, his expression shifted to one of pain and recognition. She stopped. He opened his eyes, surprised, and smiled at her tenderly, like they were an old couple thinking of the punchline of a joke they both knew too well.
You're doing it right. His voice cracked as he said it. Keep going.
He put both hands on the back of her head and started moving his hips. Keep going. She did. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw her underwear, white cotton, wet through, hung limp on the heel of one boot. And that damned shirt button. She was staring at the button while he fucked her mouth. It couldn't quite get away. The sound of her breathing through her nose, sucking sounds. It was all wrong, but good. Her hand jerking his cock seemed like a stranger's hand. Fever sweat on her forehead. His breathing was shallow and quick. Spread your knees wider while you do it. I like it when you touch yourself. She did that, too. One hand for him and one for her, moving together. Harder, he said. His stomach muscles and thighs and buttocks grew tense. Fuck yourself harder. He pulled his cock out of her mouth and held her by the hair. His eyes burned into her. Do it. When he slapped her face gently, her body stiffened and her eyes went wide. Everything stopped. She searched his face. Not anger, an offering, a new instrument in the familiar song. He drew his hand back, questioning. Still too easy to come back? She swallowed, then nodded. She braced for another slap, but his hand didn't move. Keep fucking yourself. She looked at the hand, poised in the air, then at his face. Stern. Shared pain. As she dipped and stroked herself harder, she closed her eyes to concentrate. As soon as she did, his grip on her hair tightened painfully. She looked up to find him shaking his head. Keep looking. Look at my face. I'm right here. I'm doing this to you. He slapped her again gently, then again with the back of his hand, questioning, back and forth. Her breathing quickened to a pant. Make it harder to come back, she said. Suddenly she was wetter. And he did, back and forth, escalating. She wished each slap could hit her whole body, knock it inches side to side, knock her out of this world. You wish you could get away. Slap. But you can't. Slap. And I can't. Slap. So shut up and take it. The room receded. The air between his eyes and hers was all there was, hot like a tunnel, burning, vibrating, pulling her in. There was air between them and his face at the end of that tunnel. It flinched each time he slapped her. She was bearing this for both of them, and he knew it. He wished it could be easier, but it was not. And the only other things in the world were the head of his cock waggling in front of her face and the slippery heat of her cunt that she kept desperately stroking to satisfy him, to release them both. Harder. It was not clear which of them had said it, or whether it was about slapping her face or stroking herself. She didn't know where she was anymore, or who. It didn't matter. Time blurred, and she realized he wasn't slapping her anymore. There was just the feeling of his hands holding both sides of her head while he fucked her mouth, and the violent stroking of her fingertips over her sex, and the rolling build and crash of the orgasm that snapped her knees together, bucked her hips, clawed her hands at his body. Fuck! He yelled. Floorboards creaked and popped as he stepped back. He
He was standing a few steps back, holding his hip. It was bleeding. She must have raked open the bite she'd given him the day before. The bruise her teeth had left showed between his fingers. Taste of pennies, smell of blood. She smiled.
Fuck me now. It was a voice that spoke from deep within her. He wrenched her up off the floor and threw her on the bed. When he was getting close to orgasm, she reached down and grabbed him by the balls and yanked him deep inside. He bucked against her until she felt him release. She was pleased to see an unfamiliar expression on his face that looked like rage, and she saw in the mirror that she had it too. Not rage at him, not rage at herself. Rage at this hunger between them that neither of them could fight. Fuck you, she whispered in his ear while he convulsed, for doing this to me. This was a good thing to hear herself say, and she began to come again. There was nothing to hold on to. She was falling back downstairs with no steps, no railing to grab, just the echo of that first tremor in a railing, still somewhere in her nerves, clenching her cunt. She took the tip of her thumb between her teeth, rocked her jaw side to side to feel the reassurance of the nail ridges. When she licked the tip, it was bitter, sap from a snapped flower blossom still on the thumbnail. They lay together exhausted on the bed. His hands were shaking, but that passed. Waves of softening pleasure melted into her. She put her nose against the sweaty skin of his neck to breathe him in. He did the same, breathing in her hair. They fell asleep, tangled together, not because they wanted to, but because they lacked the strength to move apart. As they slept, deep in their brains, some cellular machine nodded in appreciation of their match. It pressed hard to mold that feeling into the matter of their memories. Or maybe they were dolls, and God was a child in a living room, smashing them together without looking, just to see which parts of them would break. I can't shapeshift back to who I was before your earthquake. 1,000 glass jars fell off of my shelves and shattered all at once. Help me sweep, love, sweep me up.
And that was a reading from Inside Snug and Evil. Still hungry? There's more at freezerfulloffeet.com.